Good day, friends, and welcome to our 15th episode of the Hashtag Music Ed Love podcast, brought to you by the Music Education Department at the University of Tennessee at Martin. This episode is called Future Music Educators and explores identity, decision-making, and the hopes and dreams of our young future music educators. This podcast is designed to advance student-centered music education in Tennessee and beyond through the dissemination of the latest techniques and research in our field. This goal is accomplished by connecting current music educators and music ed majors, and today, future music teachers, in this region with the most passionate, innovative, and esteemed music educators in the country. I am your hostess, Angela Ammerman, Director of Music Ed at UTM, and one of the most music ed-obsessed humans you might ever meet. So first, I would love to introduce my wonderful guest speakers today. Welcome, Krista and Brianna. Tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Well, I was born in Milford, Connecticut, raised a little bit in Hamden, Connecticut, moved down here to Kentucky my fifth grade year, and now I'm going to go to college at UT Martin in Tennessee.
Great. And if you could be any animal, what animal would you be and why?
I'm thinking possibly a flying squirrel.
I love it. And why is that?
Because they're squirrels and they fly.
I mean, that is pretty cool. I'm not going to lie.
Or a bird. Sorry.
Oh, nice. Why a bird?
Because they sing 24/7 like I do.
So cute. Aw. Well, welcome, Krista. All right. And Brianna, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I was born in Jackson, Tennessee, but raised in Martin. I'm 18 now. I'm 18 years old. I will be an incoming freshman music ed major at UT Martin. And I am a hardcore jazz fan. I love everything about jazz.
I did not know that. Also, for those of you listening who cannot see our lovely guest today, they both came to my office with their sunglasses on, and Brianna has a green tongue at the moment from some drink that she's drinking. I have no idea what it is, but I thought you all should know. So, green tongue, Brianna, tell us a little bit more about what animal you would be if you could be any and why.
I would be probably a rich person's dog. Mainly because I feel like they have the life I've always wanted. They want for nothing. Probably get taken to amazing places. Like, it sounds like the life for me.
So you heard it right here, everybody. We have birds and dogs in this office today. Excellent. All right, so I would love for both of you to tell us why you ended up selecting the instrument that you currently play.
Okay, so in my band, we start out in sixth grade, but we don't pick our own instrument. We have a test. It's like a two-week test where we, like, try out each instrument, and Mr. Tucker, my former band director, grades us. So I didn't, I chose saxophone or flute. That's what I put down, but I ended up getting clarinet, which is fine because I've done well on it. It's fine.
So you didn't actually pick clarinet. They picked it for you.
Yes.
Wow. So do you recall as like little tiny Brianna back in, what was that, fifth grade?
Sixth grade.
Sixth grade? I would have loved to see that. Sixth grade Brianna, they said clarinet is the instrument. Do you remember what you felt or thought or what happened?
Well, I was actually okay with it because one instrument I also did really well on was trombone. And I was like, oh no, like we can't have that. And so, like, I knew, like, Mr. Tucker, like, because I did well in the clarinet, too. But I was like, it's going to be between those two and the saxophone. And I was like, please, like, anything but the trombone, I'll take it.
That's so funny.
And so, that's what I got, and I was fine with it.
So you were happy with it because you knew you were good at it already. Like, you knew you could make a sound and you could kind of be successful. Great. Okay. That's good to know. All right, Krista, what about you?
Okay, I originally started with an instrument different than the instrument that I currently play.
Okay.
I used to play violin. Whenever my instrumental music teacher, there wasn't a set elementary band and elementary orchestra teacher. Whenever he talked to our fourth grade class. I was like, okay, I want to play the violin. Because, you know, pretty parts in classical music, very screeching high!
And, well, you play the flute now, so that's not a problem.
True.
Yeah. And then, whenever I started, I kind of got a little jealous of the fourth grade flute players. So I was like, I'm never going to be able to play flute. And then, whenever I moved to Kentucky, I ended up being able to switch from violin to flute. That was my sixth grade year. And I do not regret my decision to join the dark side.
Oh, wonderful. And exciting side note, Krista and Brianna both now play violin and will be helping to teach some violin lessons this year as freshmen here at UT Martin. So we're really excited about that. So Krista will continue playing flute, but also get back on the violin, which is great. All right. When did you know that you wanted to teach music? There's usually that one moment. Do you remember?
Yeah. So, for the longest, I couldn't decide whether I wanted to major, like, do a band that's a Bachelor of Arts in Music and do business in music, or if I wanted to do music ed. So, like, I have been, like, dealing with this, like, problem in my mind for, like, 4 months, really. And then my mom, she asked me, she was like, Brianna, do you want to go come to my job with me and teach some music? Because she's a director for a company that provides disabled citizens with, like, in-home services, helps them find jobs and stuff. And so they're around, like, a lot. So I was like, yeah, it's fine. Like, nothing else. Like, yeah, it's fine. So I went down there, and I brought my keyboard, I brought my saxophone, I brought some drumsticks, and I brought my clarinet. And I played, like, each of them for them. And they were, like, wanting to, like, learn stuff, and I was like, okay, like, yeah, I can teach you something. And so I brought different people up, and it was just a really great experience. And so, like, I think that I made a huge Facebook post about it. And it was really great, and it was really sweet, and I loved it so much. That's probably when I decided that it was for me.
That's great. That's great. And what year was that?
That was this year.
That was this year? Wow. Okay. All right. What about you, Krista?
Okay. I had always loved music, essentially, since I was born. I would listen to all of the different parts in classical music, from Einklang Nacht music to watching Fantasia. Let's see. And I always loved teaching in a way. And I honestly was discouraged when I was little because I thought that they couldn't be together. Mm-hmm. I had elementary choir, but that just didn't really connect for me. But in fourth grade again, I met my instrumental music teacher, and I was like, wow, I could actually do this!
That's huge. That's huge. So you decided in, like, fourth grade, basically? Wow. And Brianna, I know you decided music ed as a senior in high school, but was there a time when you decided music was going to be it for you? Do you recall?
Yes.
And when was that?
Okay, so up until about October, I was going to be a poli-sci major. And, like, it was the UTM competition, and I have always had a strong appreciation for Dr. Hill, and I met her there, and I was like, oh my god, like, I touched her, and I was like, oh my god, there goes Dr. Hill, but then, like, I didn't see her again, and so, as, like a week later, like, I told some people about it, and they, in turn, like, told Dr. Hill, and they were like, there's this girl, and she's like, she's not obsessed, but she, like, really loves you. And so, like, we had, like, she was like, of course, like, come talk. And so, like, we had a meeting in her office. And at that time, I was still, like, not going to do music. It was just, like, wow, cool to meet her because, like, she, like, as a woman in music and in the position that she's in, it was, like, really, like, not cool to meet her. And she was, like, showing me all this different stuff. She's like, you can do this, and you can do this, and this is how many scholarships you qualify for. And I was like, okay. And so I think that was pretty much it. Like, when I had people behind me, because before then I really didn't have anyone behind me saying, oh, yeah, you can do music. Like you can, don't feel bad about doing what you love. Because, before then, I was like, oh, like, you are going to do, like, some type of business majoring type thing. And so, like, no one had ever really brought up the, oh, you're going to major in music thing to me. And so, like, she did. And that's probably when I decided.
Wow, that's great. And for those of you that don't know, Dr. Hill is Julie Hill. She's the chair of music here at UT Martin. And she's also a very, very accomplished percussionist, known throughout the country for her work with percussion. So that's really amazing what a difference that made for you. So oftentimes what we find is that when students first say to other people, I want to be a music educator, people either support them 100% or they say, no, you don't. And they give a whole number of reasons why they don't. So I'm curious your experiences when you came out of the music ed closet. All right, Krista.
All right. First and foremost, my parents supported me wholeheartedly. Okay. I mean, it kind of helps to have an older brother that's pretty interested in music as much as I am. Now, like you said, they're definitely... were people that were like, are you sure you want to do that? Mm-hmm. Sadly, they were some teachers in my school. Of course, not all. Like my band director, my orchestra director, and a few others that I knew I could really trust. That was also before my senior year. I was kind of scared going into my senior year because I had signed up for these education courses with this one teacher that apparently hates the arts.
Oh, no.
Well, it turns out she doesn't. Oh. And I'm not sure if that's from me, one of her general education students, saying that I would love to be a music teacher or a teacher in general, but... she was like, what specifically do you want to teach? And I'm like, music. And she was like, that really, really suits you. And I think you should go for it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And there was another teacher that I helped at our middle school because I got to do clerical work for her. And we would have some casual conversations about what I would love to do in the future. And again, I told her that I would love to be a band or orchestra director or just a general music teacher in elementary school. And she said, go for it. You have so much talent and you need to do it.
That's great. That's so great. Brianna, how about you?
I had to pull my sunglasses down for this one. Okay, so when I didn't tell, like, my mom for a while. Because I always, like in high school, like, starting in ninth grade, I was like, Mom, like, I just want to let you know, like, I'm probably not going to do music in college, like, do it as a major, but I want to, like, keep playing. Like, I knew that. Like, I knew that I wanted to keep playing. And so she was like, okay, that's fine. Like, that's great. Like, because my family, like, they always have, like, such a high expectation of me. They're all like, business majoring Nazis. So like it was kind of crazy. And so like they're like, oh, Brianna's going to be a lawyer. She's going to be a doctor. Brianna's going to be like the president. Like it was just really high. And so like I felt a lot of pressure like with what I was going to major with. So I told a teacher and I told another teacher and they were like, oh, and I was like, yeah. Oh, and so like it just like always went back to that. And then As a senior, like, when I finally realized that I was going to go into the music field, we had a lot of, like, since we were seniors, there were a lot of, like, empty classes, like, when we didn't really do anything, and, like, we had substitutes, and so the substitutes would talk to us, because, like, we always had chill classes, because we were seniors, you know, and so there was one specific one that talked to me, and she was like, so what are you going to do? Like, I heard, like, you're going to do, like, super, like, you're going to be, like, a lawyer in, like, University of Memphis, and you're going to go to MTSU or, like, you know, something like that. And I was like, no, I'm going to major in music at UTM. She was like, music? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, well, are you going to get paid? Like, you have to, like, think, like, ahead. And I was like, I don't, like, I'm not, like, I told her, I was like, I'm not thinking about, like, pay. I'm thinking about what I love. And, you know, of course, like, you do want to consider, like, how am I going to make a living and stuff like that. And so, like, it was just, like, a lot of pressure, like, from that, my teachers being, like, not so supportive of me. But there were, of course, like, teachers that were those, like, yeah, I've heard you play, like, do it. Like, if you don't do it, like, it's going to be a problem, you know? And so, I ended up telling my mom, and she was like, huh. Okay. Like, she does, like, of course she wants to be supportive of mm-hmm. me, but she also wants, like, she wants her daughter to, like, be able to, like, support herself and, like, have, like, a good living, you know? And so, and she, like, she knew, like, if I did, like, business or if I did something else, like, I'd definitely be set. And since the music field is so uncertain, you know, you always have to think about that. She wasn't as easy to convince. And so that took a little minute, like, for me to, like do stuff. And she'd be like, well, is that really going to help you? And so it was a struggle for a while. Probably until maybe honor band was definitely one of the, like, UTM's honor band was definitely one of the moments where she was like, I'm super proud, because, like, I got the solo, and she had listened to the solo, and she was like, that was, like, one of her, like, turning moments. And then from then on, like, things kept happening. Like, I won, like, different stuff, and it was like things were really, like, coming in. And so she was, like, leaning more to it. So, like, now she's fine with it, and she's, like, she gets mad when I don't practice, unless it's the violin.
Oh, that's really great. I know I've had, quite a few students in my former job who wanted to major in music education, and their parents were adamant against it. And one of them, he continued to fail college classes for engineering over and over again. And his parents kept saying, no, you need to do this. If you switch to music ed, I'm kicking you out of the house. But this kid just couldn't seem to pass an engineering class to save his life. And next thing you know, he gets in these music ed classes, and suddenly he's getting straight A's, because that's where he wants to be. It's not that he's not smart enough. It's really, truly that he wanted nothing to do with engineering. All his passion was for music ed. And I know that passion can take you very far, very far. So, great. All right. So tell us a little bit about how much teaching experience you've had so far.
Okay. It mainly came from this year through teaching sectionals, teaching about, chamber ensembles, and attempting to get a flute choir together, although it fell through. I mean, that's all right. But yeah, I would try to lead my section as if I were leading a class of little kids, not putting them down yet and not limiting them to what it's like, to like me being authoritarian and then them being nothing. I mean, that would just be completely against my nature. And for other teaching experience, I brought up the teaching classes that I got to do. Although for those, it was mainly observational, but I got to do two easy class lessons, and that's about it.
And how did those lessons go? What were you teaching?
Well, for one of them, I was teaching the very, very basic music theory, and they didn't understand a thing, but they said, I love your teaching style. Aww. Keep doing it. And the other one, I decided that it would be fun for like a general music or music appreciation class to listen to music and draw what they think it's about.
Great.
So it's mainly like seeing, it's kind of a philosophical lesson in there. Like, not everyone has the same perception of just one thing.
Okay, great. And how did that lesson go over?
That went really well. And even my teacher said, I definitely have to look into doing this more often.
Wow, that's so great. Wonderful. So it sounds like those were, at least one was a big success for you.
Yes.
Very cool. And that was this year?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. And Brianna?
So for me, I've been working with kids since since I was a kid, really. Like, and I think it was in 2012, I started, like, volunteering at, well, it was the Learning Enrichment Center. Now it's the Martin Enrichment Academy. And I've been working with them for that long. I did Kid College last year, and I was helping a lot with them. There was a lot of times when I had to, like, help the teachers and stuff because, like, there'd be classes with, like, 40 kids in it. And, like, you know, if you're one person, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a little bit with that. Recently, probably, like, last week, I started a children's choir at the Martin Enrichment Academy. It's going well. Like, we have, like, 15, 20 students. We're doing just simple songs now because it's a program. It's a summer program, and it'll be ending really soon. But then when the fall starts and those kids start coming in, we want to reintroduce it and see, like, if it goes well, then great. If not, you know, it's fine. And then the music ed camp that I just got back from, that was super popping. I taught violin class. I taught a younger children's class. I think it was kindergarten to second.
Mm-hmm.
The Music Madness, I taught them. And that was, it was, like, the whole music camp experience was, like, there was a lot of learning going on. Definitely a lot of learning, like, from me and
mm-hmm.
from them. Like, it was great. It was definitely beneficial, so.
That's great. So that was a perfect segue into my next question. You both recently spent 2 weeks working with myself and some elementary students here at Future Music Educators Camp. Tell us about one moment that didn't go as well as you'd hoped, and we all have had those, including myself. I've had a million of those moments. And tell us about one moment for which you are exceptionally proud.
Okay, there was one moment where the student that for some reason had my heart since day one, when she seemed highly disinterested in anything that I was teaching her in the violin class. And I at first jumped to the conclusion that it was based on my teaching that I wasn't necessarily engaged enough, or I wasn't the fun teacher or something like that. And this honestly segues to what I am, like, a moment that I was really, really proud of myself for, and definitely a moment that I will never forget. After I had taught my portion of the lesson, I took her out into the hallway. Of course, I assured her that it was nothing bad, because I was just worried about her and if she was feeling okay. And she said that, yes, there was something wrong. And she went in and talked about how she has been homeschooled basically her whole life so far. And even just with camps like this, she has to try to get used to the public school system very, very quickly. And that it was very weird for her to go from a one-to-one student-teacher ratio to a about 20-to-1 student-teacher ratio. And I assured, and I told her that even though I haven't necessarily been homeschooled before, nor do I know how a homeschool setting is taught, I do know that it can be hard switching from a smaller group to a much bigger group, and how the activities are different and the pace is different. And at the beginning of the week, she wouldn't even high-five anyone. But by the end of that class, she said, "Thank you so much for checking on me," and gave me a hug. And I have to admit, I almost cried tears of joy.
Oh, yeah. I remember that very clearly, too, because I think that, I think you were very hurt that she wasn't engaged and wasn't happy to be there the way many of the other students were. And we talked just the week before about behavior management strategies. And I think that even experienced teachers, I've been teaching for 11 years, if a student isn't having a good time, my first thought is, what am I doing wrong? And I think that's good in a way, because we are reflective and we must continue to be reflective. But so often, the thing that's wrong has nothing to do with me or my teaching so often. And it just takes a little bit of investigation to figure that out. And so I was so pleased to hear about this in camp, that Krista really took note of these different strategies for managing behavior and took her into the hallway, because those behaviors and those attitudes, they sometimes have nothing to do with us. And if we just do one little thing, it can make a huge difference. So what a big win for you. That's great. All right, Brianna, how about you?
So, something that I learned from the camp was that teaching is very humbling. I'm usually really confident, and, like, when I went in, I was, I was nervous because, it was the first time doing anything, but I didn't think it was, I thought it was going to go well, each time. Like, we had prepared for what felt like forever, I thought it was going to be great. And so when I went in, on the first day, every class was going so well. And I was like, okay, viva violin, let's go, And we got in, and I don't know, maybe, we were thinking, we had to remember that they weren't, music students. They didn't know anything. And so, it was just really hard the first day to, get them to understand, this is what's going on, and this is what you need to do, not that, but this. And it was just, I don't know, they were, really, and it was a new instrument, too. You just put something brand new in front of a kid, and, that's going to be hard to, gain their attention from that anyway. So, they were all, super excited about the violins, and it wasn't that anyone was being, a bad kid. It's just they were, their minds were elsewhere. So that was kind of, disconcerting, and I felt bad from that point on. I for the rest of that day I felt kind of bad, because I was well dang, is it going to be like this every single day, but it got better. So that's probably one of the low moments. But then the high moment wasn't even my teaching. It was when I saw someone else. For the youngest class that we had, there was a song that was, it was really hard. Alphabet Tango was very hard. And as soon as we taught it, as soon as Dr. Aaron taught it to the kids, they were boom, they caught on to it. And then they've been knowing it their whole life, and none of the kids knew the song. And so that was probably one of my favorite moments of the camp, just seeing them catch on so well and respond so actively.
Wow. Thank you. I feel really, really, really honored by that comment. I have to tell you all, so for the Viva Violin Camp, Krista and Brianna were the two head teachers for that, which basically means that the other future music educators were in the room and helping and assisting, but Krista and Brianna planned all the lessons. They taught all of the classes. There was a little bit that I did, but really, truly, they did the vast majority of the work with those students. Well, they only had those students for 50 minutes a day for 5 days. And of those 50 minutes, usually the students were late getting to us, as you all have experienced, our listeners with public school. It's very similar when they're transitioning from one class to another. Often they were late. Then there's the time to unpack. Then there's the time to pack up. So when all is said and done, usually I'd say you were getting maybe 40 minutes of play time each day. And in 5 days, not only did they teach them the names of the parts of the instrument, how to hold the instrument, how to play open strings, but even how to put fingers down on the strings. And so for our listeners out there, one of my biggest pet peeves is when a string teacher in a public school says, "Well, I'm not having a concert for beginners. They don't know anything. I've only had them since September and it's December." I'm sorry, you have 2 months. You can put on a concert. You can 100% put on a concert. We had them playing mostly open strings. Christo wrote this really cool arrangement of, what's the song?
Three Little Birds.
Three Little Birds. That's the "Don't Worry About a Thing." Really cute arrangement where everybody's playing just open Ds, open As. And they did an outstanding job. And for them, it felt like they were playing a real song. And they were. Mm-hmm. And Krista was accompanying them on guitar and singing so that you could hear both of those different components to the song. And what a great way to present to the parents what they did. And Brianna taught them Havana, this easier version of Havana that she arranged, and that's the pop song many of you probably know, Havana, ooh, na, na, and she just taught the chorus of it. But in 5 days, these students did this, these future music educators. So I love all of my string teacher friends, but listen, that is a lame excuse that you can't put on a concert in 2 months. Just going to come out and say it. You can do it. And I don't care if the students are playing open strings. Go for it. Anyways, I'm off my soapbox. All right, so one of the things Brianna mentioned was that after our first week of camp, she felt like all of the future music educators were prepared for a big win. Everybody was so prepared to go in and teach these live humans. And they were exceptionally prepared to go in and do it. But then when it got to it, it was so humbling. And I think that is a reality that you can only understand if you experience teaching. So for all of you out there, high school students who are listening to this program, and even college students who are listening to this program, get experience teaching, because there is no preparation like doing it. You can have every second planned out of your lesson plan, and it will not go the way that you want it to go. Trust me, you're dealing with human feelings and emotions and behaviors, and all kinds of psychology mixed in there, plus personality mixes. And so you just never know what to expect until you go in and do it. And I've been teaching since I was in like basically fifth grade, and I still don't know what to expect when I go into a classroom. So please get yourself some experience. It makes all the world of a difference. And that was the whole second week of this camp, was our future music teachers teaching, and it was powerful. So I'm so glad that you brought up how prepared you were, but then you went in and were like, and now I'm deflated. And that just happens. But I do feel, and I'm curious how you two feel, I feel that by the end of that first week, you all were so tired, because it's exhausting to teach like that for all day. But you all seemed on such a high after all of that. And everybody seemed to feel so, so much more confident. And I feel like I saw almost a different group of people at the end of the camp. So I'm curious how you felt at the very, very end of everything.
I felt basically as like euphorically happy as possible, honestly. I had loved working with those kids, and even the smaller group, they came up to me and just hugged me, and even whenever I had a concert last night, there was a little kid that apparently saw me from way across the area and just started waving and really smiling at me.
Oh my gosh, that's so sweet. Yes. I love it. Wow. Wonderful. Wonderful. Brianna, how did you feel at the end?
Well, like you said, I think just teaching someone something and having them like actually do it and like learn it, that gives you like this huge boost of confidence. Like, it really helped my ego afterwards. I just, and also spending that much time with people, like, with the same people over and over again, you really start to build bonds. Not just with, like, your peers, like, the other teachers that are with me, but, like, also the students. Like, it was really sad to see them go. I was super proud of them. They did so much in a week. And it wasn't, like, don't say a week, like, a whole, like, 7 days, like, 50 minutes out of 5 days. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it was crazy, like, how much they accomplished. I was super proud of them, you know. Yeah, that's really how I felt. It was just great.
Well, and I think there's nothing like that feeling of pride in your own students as you see them doing something that they couldn't do before you had worked with them. There's nothing like that. And that's not to say that they couldn't do it on their own, but it's very unlikely, of course, and that you had a role in that joy that those students and their parents were feeling at the end of that week where we put on a concert. Every group had at least 3 pieces that they performed. And those parents, oh my gosh, every one of them videoing and taking pictures and oh, such pride and joy in the parents and the families. And there's just nothing like that. So, and for me, I it was really special twofold because I got to see my students who are my future music educators, but then I got to see them teaching their students. And so I felt like a grandma. I was like, this must be what grandmothers feel like, you know? It was just, it was a really incredible experience for me as well. And I think especially our listeners who are cooperating teachers, perhaps you've experienced a similar phenomenon. And so we're really very lucky to be in this field. All right. So the two of you will be looking for a job in 4 short years. I can't even believe it. So where do you see yourself at that time? Do you think you're going to be in an elementary school, middle school, high school? Do you think you're going to be teaching general music, choir, orchestra, all of the above? What's your dream job? Where do you think you'll be? Where do you want to be? Here in Tennessee, in Kentucky, in Timbuktu? Who knows? What are you thinking?
Well, when I was little, and even up until the end of my first semester senior year of high school, I was like, yeah, I'm going to be a high school band director, 100%. And then doing educational psychology and doing all of those observations, I was like, I actually have hope for teaching elementary and middle school music, whether as a band director, general music teacher, or even an orchestra director, since I'm picking violin back up. And plus with being a part of a symphony orchestra in high school, and as that being something that I would love to continue, that could definitely go both ways for, as an orchestra director, helping both my string babies and my winds, brass, and percussion babies.
And, I love it.
Yeah, and again, I'm really not sure the exact level that I teach, mm-hmm. but in my former band director's, Mr. Burchett's words, Krista, it's K-12 licensure for a reason.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Excellent. And Brianna?
In 4 years. Let's see. So, I don't have an opinion about which age I would like to teach. Because there's pros and cons to all of them. Mm-hmm. You know, if you get, like, the general music ed, and you're, like, with the younger kids, like, you get to, like, teach them, like, values that they will, like, learn younger. You know, as you, like, in, like, the middle school, like, especially, like, the teachers that were in my, like, middle school, like, they were, like, my counselors. Like, I never went to my actual counselor, but, like, they were my counselors because, like, there's so much that goes on in middle school. I feel like even more than high school, just, like, so much that goes on. So, like, you'd be, like, there for that point. And then, like, in high school, like, you're, like, preparing them. Like, if you have mostly kids that are, like, going on in music or you want them to go on in music, like, you're preparing them for, like, what they'll be doing, like, later. So, I don't know, I definitely want to be teaching, but, like, my ultimate goal is to get my master's and my doctorate. So, because Dr. Hampton sounds really nice,
honestly. That's a great goal. Well, and for those of you listening who maybe are finishing a music ed degree and wondering whether or not you should major, go on to your master's, what I recommend is that you teach for a few years, get that experience under your belt, then do the master's, teach for a few years, and then get the doctorate. If you go straight through to the master's, it's a lot harder to get a job in the public schools because they have to pay you a lot more with that master's with what they feel is no public school teaching experience. So what I actually did was I taught for 3 years and then I went back for my master's and I did it online primarily because my husband was military. So we had to move in the middle of that master's degree, which is just frustrating. But so I did it with Boston University online. And then for the PhD, I went back after I taught for, I think I had was in my 8th year of teaching. And I was like, okay, it's time. I need to go back. And George Mason had just started a PhD program right outside of where I was teaching. So I went ahead and enrolled in that. And I was the first to graduate from that program, which was very cool. But my plan had been 10 years of public school teaching and then go to teach college. Because I believe that to be a professor, you have to have that experience behind you. We keep circling back to this essential nature of experience. And so for those of you listening, making those big decisions now, I'm so glad that A, my students are already thinking about that in their process, but B, that they brought it up so that I can kind of share with you what really is what I feel to be the best path is to get that experience so that as a professor, you really you are an expert at that point. If you go straight through, which some people do, then you don't have that expertise. You can't be an expert. And I love all of you that went straight through, but the experience is absolutely essential. So I would love to also thank the teachers who have encouraged students to major in music ed. As you heard from these two students, that is powerful what you have done for them. And further, those that advocate to parents and to family members for those students who really should become teachers, who this is their calling. And it is a calling. You heard both of our students here talking about how they felt called to this. This is something they're drawn to. Many children decide in middle school that they want to major in music. They don't necessarily decide what, but they decide in middle school. And it's important that they are supported throughout the whole entire way. And we must continue to do that. So I'd love to know, do you all have any other closing words and or advice for high school listeners that are thinking about majoring in music ed? We have quite a diverse population of listeners.
I would love to say something to all of you high schoolers who are either planning or not sure on majoring in the music and or music education field. Even if some of your teachers say, maybe you should get a higher paying job, or maybe you should teach a core class, or something, or pursue some other major. My advice is, if you're drawn to it, definitely keep going towards it.
Great.
Because I was that student. I was so scared especially my parents wouldn't necessarily approve of me being a music educator, but no, they support me wholeheartedly, both me and my brother. And there will definitely be people out there that surprise you by saying, go for it. And just please keep doing music in some way, shape, or form, whether actually majoring in it, performing in community ensembles, or just picking your instrument up every now and again, and just playing a random song you heard on the radio or something. Thank you.
Great. For me, I guess I can only speak to the high school because that's all I've been through. I recently got back from another camp that's about like all about positivity and, you know, making the right decisions and stuff. And there's this lady, her name is Harriet Turk, and she speaks almost every year to the camp. And there's something that she says. She says, oh, she has a hashtag, and it's hashtag This Ain't Your Dream. She's an amazing lady. Y'all should go check her out sometime. But she is all about doing you and doing what makes you happy. And every time she comes, she says this poem that she wrote, and it goes like, I am somebody special. If you don't like it, tough, because I am cool enough, smooth enough, and doggone it, I am hot enough to be who I want to be. And, you know, since she's speaking to teenagers, that's what you need to hear. Especially because, like, the world, how it is now, like, people always want you to conform, to change, to be something that they're used to. And if you want to go into music, do music. And this isn't just for, you know, people who want to go into music. Like, whatever you want to do, like, as long as, like, it's what your heart is. That's all I have to say.
Oh, that's great. Well, I got so much out of this episode, and I hope that you all did too. I hope you'll stay tuned for our next episode, in which I delve into recruiting strategies for elementary band and orchestra. I hope you'll tune in. Don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes, to hit subscribe so you can get all of our updates, and to like us on Facebook at Music Ed Love. Leave out the hashtag. Sadly, Facebook wouldn't put the hashtag on our Facebook page. We hope that this week you'll be able to sprinkle a little stardust on all of your students, uncover the greatness within a few more humans, and send those stars through the stratosphere. Happy musicking, friends!